Now this is the testimony of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, Who are you? He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, I am not the Messiah. And they asked him, What then? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? And he answered, No. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. The Beth Messiah Congregation invites you to come and experience a Messianic Roots, biblically-based congregational fellowship as we observe God's Shabbat in Messiah Yeshua. Praise and worship services begin at 10:30 a.m., followed by an Oneg Shabbat meal, Midrash, and fellowship. Beth Messiah Congregation is located at 8333 Acoma Way in North Denver. You can find out more information by calling 1-800-205-6245. Everyone's welcome, so join us this Shabbat. And Shabbat Shalom, good Sabbath. Revolution NMR LLC reminds listeners to honor our military members. Without their courage, we would be unable to enjoy the freedoms granted to us in the Constitution. Let's salute those who have given their lives in the line of duty, as well as those who serve today. Show your appreciation by sending a care package to our troops. Contact your local veterans organization for more information. This reminder has been from Revolution NMR LLC in Fort Collins, creator of scientific instruments.
Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. Our guest is Andrew Skousen, filling in for his dad, Joel Skousen, is ordinarily with us, but Joel is traveling. And so we're going to be looking at the World Affairs Brief for this week. Good morning, Andrew. How are you?
Good morning, Dr. Stan. I'm doing just fine. Thank you.
Well, why don't you tell us what it is we're going to be covering in the World Affairs Brief?
Certainly. In the brief this week, the major story is about North Korea and about the various North Korean war scenarios that could develop. Also, we discuss the UN arms treaty, Cyprus and their natural gas resources, and the economic outlook after the Cyprus banking bail-in. And we debunk a new story about Assad being dead. So starting out the big story here this week on the World Affairs Brief, North Korea is still threatening. And since my dad is a geopolitical analyst who first postulated that North Korea would be the trigger for a third world war, Pyongyang's continued fume and fury toward the United States and South Korea this week has demanded a further explanation from Joel on whether or not war is close at hand. While Joel still believes it is premature for Russia and China to jump in and attack the West with nuclear weapons should Kim Jong-un do something rash, the situation has grown dangerous given North Korea's considerable military power and its unstable leadership right now. There has been an increase in personnel and vehicle movement at the North mid- and long-range missile sites as tension on the divided peninsula rises. And according to North Korea press release, Mr. Kim has, quote, directed his rocket units on standby to strike at the United States and its Pacific bases at an overnight emergency meeting with top army commanders, end quote. However, the North Korean military is regularly put on standby to strike as part of their ever-present need to keep their military believing that war is imminent. There have not been, however, any commensurate large-scale movements of troops, tanks, and other invasion machinery toward the demilitarized zone, which would be a sure sign of imminent war with the South. White House spokesman Jay Carney also pointed this out, saying, quote, despite the harsh rhetoric we're hearing from Pyongyang, we're not seeing changes to the North Korean military posture, such as large-scale mobilizations and positioning of forces, end quote. Stephen Haggard, a professor of Korea-Pacific Studies and member of the CFR, believes that the U.S. has overreacted, which Joel disagrees with. He says, quote, but North Korea did possibly make one major misstep in arguing that it might undertake a preemptive nuclear strike. Announcing an intention to preempt is dangerous because even small tactical movements can then be misinterpreted. Needless to say, such statements have to be taken seriously, and if anything, the United States and South Korea may have overreacted to such a public display of force. In particular, the U.S. announced a major new ballistic missile defense initiative, training runs by B-52 and B-2 bombers, and an updated U.S.-Republic of Korea combined counter-provocation plan. In the last few days, the U.S. was again quite public about its deployment of jet fighters to the peninsula as well. End quote. Not to be outdone, Joel says, the perennial KGB propaganda outfit RT, Russia Today Television, couldn't help but exacerbate the situation by blaring the headline, North Korea ratifies nuclear strike against the U.S. The only way RT could know this for sure, of course, is if the Russians had a front-row seat within North Korea's closed regime, as we skeptics about the fall of communism have always claimed. The Russians were, of course, fully involved in supporting North Korea's attack on the South during the 1950s Korean War. Still, this news is very likely just more hype added to the bonfire of North Korean propaganda meant to test just how the West will react. Quote from RT, this comes as the North Korean army says it has final approval for nuclear attack on the U.S. Merciless operation of its revolutionary armed forces in this regard has been finally examined and ratified, said a spokesman for the General Staff of the Korean People's Army, according to the statement released by the same KCNA news agency. Joel says, that hardly qualifies as justification for RT to say North Korea ratifies a nuclear strike against the U.S. And RT notes that even South Korea did not take North Korea's recent movement of a missile to their east coast as a sign of anything imminent. Quote, the reports by South Korea's Yonhap news agency did not indicate whether the missile was mounted with a warhead, Joel says, which would be hard to determine anyway. It's not yet clear whether Pyongyang was planning to fire the weapon or was just displaying it as a show of force. We formally inform the White House and Pentagon that the ever-escalating U.S. hostile policy toward the DPRK and its reckless nuclear threat will be smashed by the strong will of all the United Service personnel and people, end quote. Joel says, who is, in fact, making the quote-unquote reckless nuclear threat? It's certainly not the U.S. That kind of hyperbole and distortion is typical of North Korean rants and is more aimed at internal consumption than to the rest of the world. Meanwhile, the U.S. is being forced to respond in numerous ways just in case the North Korean military does launch a strike on South Korea, which they have done many times in the past. The U.S. Navy is moving the USS Fitzgerald, an anti-ballistic missile destroyer, closer to the North Korean coastline, and they have put Patriot anti-missile batteries on alert near the demilitarized zone. The U.S. is also reportedly putting additional F-22 fighter squadrons on standby for movement to Korea in the event of a conflict. A missile defense system has reportedly been sent to Guam to protect against a long-range ballistic attack. But James Hardy from Jane's Defense Weekly says he doubts North Korea has this kind of missile strength yet. Quote, from what we know of its existing inventory, North Korea has short and medium-range missiles that could complicate a situation on the Korean Peninsula and perhaps reach Japan. We have not seen any evidence that it has long-range missiles that could strike the continental U.S., Guam, or Hawaii, end quote. While the U.S. is not taking any chances with Korea, the general consensus within U.S. policymakers is that this too will pass. But even the globalist flagship organization, the Council on Foreign Relations, CFR, is perplexed over this sudden outrageous behavior on the part of North Korea's young leader. This is clearly not something they have planned nor anticipated. Here's the CFR's Korea expert, Scott Snyder. Quote, North Korean brinkmanship, bluff, and bluster are stock elements in its diplomatic toolkit. But why have the threats become so outsized, and how worried should we be? Is North Korea playing the same game it has always played? Or does the now nuclear playbook of a rash young leader present a new threat that we cannot afford to ignore? But the intensity and frequency of threats in Kim Jong-un's first year of leadership is uncomfortably high, raising questions about whether Junior Kim fully understands the ritualistic rules of the inter-Korean quote-unquote threat down, whether he might be more accepting of risk than his father, and whether he's more likely to make miscalculations that could drive a hair-trigger situation over the edge.
Hold that thought, Andrew. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment with Andrew Skousen here at the American Christian Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of the Green Herb.
The people who are controlling the government of America are the same people who are trying to control your family's health care. You can sit quietly by and accept their plan, or you can take responsibility for your health. What would happen if you could no longer obtain the medications you're now taking? Would you be forced to join the ranks of corrupt agents just to purchase the medicine? If you're one of the thousands of concerned citizens who would like to know more about a natural way, God's way to help, drop by the Green Herb for a natural solution and all the information you need to make an intelligent decision. Or go to our website, www.thegreenherb.com. Come by the Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB. That's 888-765-4372. And be sure to listen to the Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Katz every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
We, the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, do ordain and establish this Constitution for the United States of America. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 16.
Well, Doctor, as the BBC Andrew has talked about the danger of war with North Korea. Now, from a logical point of view, nothing makes sense. I mean, it would be totally illogical for North Korea to launch an attack on the United States. But we're not dealing with a rational world. There are lots of things that go on that just don't make sense if you look at it logically. Andrew, go right ahead.
That's right. Well, looking at the CFR's opinion of what's happening in North Korea, it's interesting to note that the globalist strategy of downplaying North Korea's radical threats in the past have always relied upon the fact that it was always just a bluff. Well, now the CFR isn't sure North Korea can be controlled or kept stable, but they will continue to push the old permissive policies of the past to see if they can bring the new leader around. Quoting from CFR's Scott Snyder, "Moreover, no one can be sure whether internal political changes, challenges, or a need to consolidate political control are driving young Kim to walk even closer to the edge than usual. How can North Korea's frenzy of threats be brought under control? Past behavior shows a pattern of threats followed by a diplomatic charm offensive designed to ease tensions and reap diplomatic gains in an environment of general relief that the situation has calmed down," Joel interjects. "The CFR always claims success with these charm offensives, but the truth is that they always fail. The CFR knows all too well that North Korea will never stop their nuclear program, but it keeps Americans believing in the non-confrontational approach, which they hypocritically never apply to Iran." Continuing with the quote, "Although South Korea and the United States are weary of this game, South Korea has started to provide opportunities for North Korea to climb down as spring military exercises start to wrap up." Joel says, once again, pushing the give them more aid to make them calm down ruse. Continuing, "The new South Korean government has separated humanitarian aid from nuclear weapons negotiations." Joel says, "But that was the whole rationale for the original deal, to give aid in trade for stopping the nuclear program. Without that linkage, this new policy becomes one of pure permissiveness to a dangerous enemy. To the globalist intent on building future enemies, aid to communists is somehow a universal good, no matter how evil the threat." Continues the quote, "And President Park Geun-hye has a patiently held out an olive branch in the form of her trust politic policy, which promises step-by-step efforts to stabilize inter-Korean relations." Joel says, "It never ceases to amaze me how globalists can continue to push for trust politic with communists, but won't tolerate the least compromise with a country like Iran, which is far less dangerous than North Korea." Notice that North Korea is now officially backing out of yet another of the past food-for-peace deals with the West, according to the Associated Press. North Korea said Tuesday it will restart its long-shuttered plutonium reactor and increase production of nuclear weapons material, in what outsiders see as its latest attempt to extract U.S. concessions by raising fears of war, end quote. According to U.S. experts, a plutonium reactor can create enough fission material to produce one or two hydrogen bombs each year. Although the press never makes an issue of it, this whole episode threatens to embarrass the CFR's decades-long policy of pushing concessions with the North in exchange for paper promises of good behavior. That policy has never worked and is now unraveling yet again. But now for the question of, is there a power struggle going on in North Korea? This is perhaps one of the best alternative reasons to explain the sudden rise in threats and rhetoric in the North. This analysis was published by United Press International this week. Quote, while North Korea's young leader, Kim Jong-un, portrays himself as a tough-talking leader, his aunt and uncle are the country's real power, analysts say. Among Kim's small inner circle of advisors are his aunt, Kim Kyung-hoo, and her husband, Jang Sung-taek, each 66, a power couple chosen by Kim's late father, Kim Jong-il, to help his 30-year-old son consolidate power and control North Korea's 1.2 million member military, ABC News reported Monday. The couple were recently spotted at a committee meeting of the ruling Workers' Party, listening to a speech in which Kim referred to North Korea's nuclear weapons as the nation's life treasure, ABC said. They're in a hurry to establish Kim's image as a powerful military leader to gain respect and control, and the ones doing that are Kim Kyung-hoo and her husband Jang, said Yung Young Tae, senior research fellow at Seoul's Korea Institute for National Unification, end quote. Alistair Gale and Yuka Hayashi of Agence France-Presse added this about recent military purges in North Korea, which give a strong indication of a power struggle going on, to which Mr. Kim's backers must respond by hyping Kim Jong-un's role as a new strong leader. Quote, Mr. Kim's recent appearances at a spate of combat drills ahead of an annual meeting of North Korea's rubber stamp legislature on Monday has helped reassure a new generation of military leaders that he is committed to a national policy that places military strength above all other priorities, experts say. When the younger Mr. Kim took power upon the death of Kim Jong-il in late 2011, he presented himself as a more modern and down-to-earth leader than his father. A series of appearances at amusement parks, a dolphinarium, and a pop concert with a fashionable wife carrying a designer handbag mesmerized outsiders. Optimism also spread that Mr. Kim might loosen the government's grip on farming and manufacturing in some parts of the country. Some experts said Mr. Kim's time as a student in Switzerland might have taught him the benefits of a more open economy. While some North Koreans in South Korea began to hear from relatives and associates in the North that changes were coming. But most of those hopes have evaporated. Many experts are even concluding that Mr. Kim, who is believed to be 30 years old, could prove more unpredictable than his father, especially after North Korea's February 12th nuclear test. Mr. Kim, who has no military experience, has used the multiple trips to military facilities to boost his standing with the younger generation of leaders, experts say. It's a consolidation of power. There's a certain amount of cementing his role, said Michael Madden, editor of the website North Korea Leadership Watch. Mr. Kim has also removed several military leaders, most notably top general Ri Yong-ho, in July last year. Some analysts believe that the purges were intended to reduce the military's role in the economy. Joel says, not true. They were purges of those who were tired of the erratic and corrupt control exercised by Kim's father, Kim Jong-il. Continuing with the quote, which could help Mr. Kim introduce economic reforms more easily, but there have been no indications that such steps are in the pipeline. A recent speech on light industry suggests that Mr. Kim's regime remains stuck in old ways of economic thinking. He said what the Soviet government leaders used to say in the 60s and 70s. We have problems with light industry. It's because you don't study great socialist ideas hard enough, because we don't control people well enough. Joel says socialists always say this kind of thing to explain away failures. Noted Andrei Lankov, an expert with North Korea at Kukmin University in Seoul. It was a very bad sign. While his outgoing nature has helped Mr. Kim build trust among the North Korean people, Joel says, and this is propaganda to some extent. While North Korea does have many fawning, adoring, and unthinking communist youth, there is much hatred of communism among those who have suffered under this regime. Continue with the quote. He is also believed were widely believed to exercise the kind of ruthless streak that ensured his father, Kim Jong-il, remained in power for almost two decades until his death in 2011. Since the younger Mr. Kim took power, the number of North Koreans coming to South Korea has fallen sharply due to tightened border controls. That North Korea again appears to be escalating threats to extract aid and other concessions from the U.S. and others have all but drowned any optimism from the early days of his reign that Mr. Kim might evolve into a more approachable figure than his father, whose confrontational behavior and ruthless control of the state made him an international pariah. Well, now let's comment on some of the possible war scenarios that could develop should this North Korea escalate. The first case is that North Korea would attack South Korea with conventional weapons. North Korea has approximately 1.2 million men under arms, two-thirds of which are within 50 miles of the demilitarized zone. Wikipedia had a fairly accurate summary of North Korean arms, saying, quote, the Korean People's Army operates a very large amount of equipment, including 4,060 tanks, 2,500 APCs, armored personnel carriers, 17,900 artillery pieces, and 11,000 air defense guns, and some 10,000 man pads and anti-tank guided missiles in the ground force. At least 915 vessels in the Navy and 1,748 aircraft in the Air Force, of which 478 are fighters and 180 are bombers. North Korea also has the largest special forces in the world, as well as the largest submarine fleet. The equipment is a mixture of World War II vintage vehicles and small arms, widely proliferated Cold War technology, and more modern Soviet or locally produced weapons. In 1994, North Korea received 10 Gulf II-class submarines from Russia. Joel comments, two of those have left port and are unaccounted for. End of the Wikipedia quote. Even more ominous, North Korea has thousands of chemical and biological weapons, for which there is little defense. In contrast, South Korea has fewer men and equipment, but the equipment is much more modern in quality and variety as supplied by the U.S. With only 500,000 men, it has less than half the strength of the North Korean army. It has 2,850 tanks, but many are of the M48 variety, a World War II vintage tank with upgraded weapon systems. Approximately 1,500 are modern tanks based upon the American M1 with laser range-finding gun systems. The South also has a few thousand armored vehicles, 11,300 artillery systems, 7,000 missile defense systems, and 13,000 infantry support systems. The South Korean Navy is less numerous but better equipped than the North Koreans, with around 180 commissioned ships, including approximately 10 diesel submarines, 80 patrol craft, and 30 auxiliary ships. It has an indigenous ship industry producing destroyers and amphibious assault ships. The South Korean Air Force is superior in quality to the North with 180 F-16 Falcons, 234 F-5 Tigers, 130 F-4 Phantoms, and 32 F-15 Eagles. The South is backed up by 28,000 U.S. troops, about 20,000 of which are combat troops and pilots. The 8th Fighter Wing is stationed at Kunzun Air Force Base, and the 5th Fighter Wing is at Osan Air Force Base, which includes the formidable A-10 ground attack aircraft. F-22s are also in Korea on temporary duty during this crisis. The biggest worry of U.S. military planners is the proximity of Korea's capital, Seoul, with its population of nearly 10 million. It is within striking range of North Korea's 20,000 artillery pieces, and they could lay waste to much of the city before the U.S. could respond with air power. While there are few operational defenses against artillery shells, the U.S. does have artillery tracking equipment that can be used to trace back the exact location of artillery units and subject them to counter-artillery shelling. But even harder to counter with conventional weapons would be a ground attack by North Korea's million-man army, many of which are prepared to enter the South through hundreds of underground tunnels deep below the demilitarized zone, specifically prepared to insert thousands of troops inside the lower peninsula, where they are more immune from air attacks. Joel says, I have long believed that the U.S. would have to use tactical nuclear weapons to stop the overwhelming force of North Korea that North Korea is capable of bringing to bear in a future conflict, especially if North Korea uses chemical weapons in an artillery barrage. Theoretically, this escalation of warfare would lead China and Russia to say that the U.S. has engaged in a nuclear war and justify Russia's long-planned nuclear strike on America, starting another world war. However, I'm equally convinced that neither Russia nor China is currently ready for a nuclear strike on America at this time, nor are they ready to follow it up with large occupation armies that would require the long line of supply that would necessitate a huge blue water navy. If North Korea does prematurely attack the West, it would deal a significant blow to the globalist strategy as I see it, since it would force the West to deal with North Korea now and remove it as the favored trigger event for World War III later. Looking at the second scenario with North Korea, which is that North Korea attacks U.S. and Japanese forces with one or two nuclear weapons. Well, first, North Korea does not have enough nuclear warheads to do anything but launch a few isolated attacks on Japan, Guam, or maybe Hawaii, if their long-range missiles were accurate enough, which is in great doubt right now. Since they do not have the capability to project conventional weapons offshore to any great extent as a follow-up to a nuclear attack, such an attack...
Andrew, hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here with Andrew Stausen at American Freedom Network.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on. Great Plains Power has been providing reliable electrical power systems in the Rocky Mountain area since 1992. Our systems rely on the sun to help make you self-reliant for your power needs. Solar energy can be scaled to fit any situation, from complete power independence to backup power for the short term. Our expertise focuses on standalone power, but we have extensive experience with utility interactive systems as well. Custom tailored capabilities as modest as emergency lighting all the way to commercial scale power. Great Plains Power is a full service company. We service everything we sell. We provide and design turnkey packages, custom design system, and parts for do-it-yourself. With more than 20 years of specialized experience at your disposal, let us know what your power concerns or goals are. Reach us by phone or the internet. Call 303-239-9963. That's 303-239-9963. Or go to greatplainssolar.com. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just power from the consent of the governed. This is the America News Network. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. The Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 10 through 13. Fort Collins Radiator Shop reminds listeners the effects of child abuse are devastating. For those who survived, the pain inflicted upon them as children will often influence their entire lives. If you or someone you know needs help, contact your local authorities immediately. This message from Fort Collins Radiator Shop, 417 Jefferson Street in Fort Collins. For all your radiator repair needs, they have 47 years of experience, family owned and operated. Call 970-482-6783. That's 970-482-6783.
Well, Dr. Stan here, our guest this morning, Andrew Stausen, filling in for his dad, Joel Stausen. Andrew, before we go on, I want you to tell our listeners how they can get in touch with your dad, with World Affairs Brief and subscribe to his newsletter if they'd like to, or get his excellent books on planning for the collapse of American society. His book on strategic relocation, his book on building a secure home. How can people get hold of your ministry? How can they get hold of your books?
Thank you, Dr. Stan. The best way is to log on to worldaffairsbrief.com. That's all one word with an S on affairs, worldaffairsbrief.com. And there's an easy way for them to sign themselves up for the World Affairs Brief. There's a link to PayPal, and they can pay the modest fee and sign up for that for a year at a time. Then on that website, we also post news stories, so it's a good resource to go to frequently to see what we find as the most valuable alternative news sites to help people with their information sources. And they can also see there's a link on that page to joelskousen.com. Joelskousen.com lists all of the books that we have for sale. As you mentioned, Dr. Stan, that's Strategic Relocation, North American Guide to Safe Places, which analyzes all of the different states in the Union and provides a lot of background about the various threats and how each of the states add up, which, of course, has been changing a bit lately. And we've been working to update that book to keep in mind all of the new changes, especially with related to gun control, as it has been targeting each state differently. It seems like the state legislatures are the ones that are going to pass most of the gun control laws this time around. So it's a very valuable book in that regard about which areas of the U.S. are the best to relocate to. But once you get there, you will need to plan to reinforce your own house or retreat, and for that you'll need either the Secure Home, which is our most complete book on everything about security, alternate energy, and how to prepare for the hard times to come. It's a 700-page book and is my dad's major thesis on all of the information that he has pulled together in the last 20 years. For those people that are just doing a small renovation, there is the high-security shelter, how to implement a multi-purpose high-security room in the house, in the home. And this is a smaller book that has a great amount of information for those people that are just wanting to do a single room for high security. And those are all available, like I said, from joelskousen.com or through you at Radio Liberty, right, Dr. Stan?
By calling 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And ladies and gentlemen, we are living in a very, very dangerous world. Nothing as it appears to be. Certainly in many respects, why they're playing down the danger of the problem with North Korea. In fact, we're going to reinforce our missile defense system here on the West Coast. We have 6 missile defense systems here. We could take down 6 missiles coming in. China has 1,000 missiles they could launch at us, but we have 6 missile defense systems, and we're going to add 6 more, and they'll be ready by the year 2017, so you have nothing to worry from North Korea. We're going to reinforce our missile defense on the West Coast, and it'll be ready by 2017. And if you think that's rational, it's as rational as most of the other things going on in the world today. Make your preparations, ladies and gentlemen, because I believe very difficult times lie ahead. Go right ahead, Andrew.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, in the brief this week, we're looking at some of the scenarios that might develop if North Korea were to go to advanced war footing. The second scenario is that North Korea would attack the U.S. and Japanese forces with their 1 or 2 nuclear weapons. But since they do not have the capability to project conventional weapons offshore to any great extent as a follow-up to a nuclear attack, such an attack would only guarantee a massive retaliatory response, which North Korea could not survive. North Korea cannot even survive the economic consequences of war without external help. It has a current command-driven state economy which cannot feed its own people and has been kept afloat only by massive imports of food and products from China, and also those milked from South Korea. The Chinese supply could easily be interdicted should the U.S. choose to stop China from helping North Korea. But judging by how we protected China from any of these attacks during the First Korean War, it is doubtful the U.S. would intervene now. Now, what about the reports of the Chinese military amassing near their border with North Korea? Bill Gertz, a regular recipient of government leaks, although of the neocon side of things, reports that, quote, China continued moving tanks and armored vehicles and flying flights near North Korea this week as part of a military buildup in the northeastern part of the country that U.S. officials say is related to the crisis with North Korea. According to U.S. officials with access to intelligence reports, both intelligence and internet reports from the region over the past week revealed the modest military movements in the border region that began in mid-March and are continuing. End quote. No one is saying what modest means, but it's certainly not enough to indicate that a real war is in the offing. The third option is that North Korea were to launch an EMP attack on America. There is a mistaken fear floating around about an imminent EMP strike by North Korea against the U.S. mainland, either by detonating a nuclear device in a satellite or smuggling a missile onboard a shipping container, getting it into or near a U.S. harbor, and then launching it to create an EMP strike that would take down America's power grid. WorldNetDaily.com was one of the biggest alternative news outlets pushing this idea. Quote, U.S. officials quietly are expressing concern that North Korea could use its space launch vehicle to explode a high-altitude nuclear device over the United States, creating an electromagnetic pulse that would destroy major portions of the U.S. electrical grid system as well as the nation's critical infrastructures. They are aware of the three-stage missile North Korea launched last December that also orbited a quote-unquote package, which experts say could be a test to orbit a nuclear weapon that then would be deorbited on command anywhere over the U.S. and exploded at a high altitude, creating an EMP effect. And, end quote. This scenario is unlikely at best and disinformation at worst. North Korea's space program is still rudimentary, as evidenced by its first launch that broke apart soon after liftoff. Although its second launch appeared to stay together, there's a lot more to putting an EMP weapon into space than just a rocket platform, especially if that weapon is a satellite to be, quote, deorbited on command, end quote. Manipulating a satellite reliably from the ground is not trivial, let alone the technology needed to include a nuclear weapon in that spacecraft, keep it maintained, and detonate it with precision. Considering North Korea is still testing basic nuclear devices, this scenario is probably still science fiction. The threat of EMP is real enough, WorldNet Daily describes some of the effects below, but it will take more than one weapon for a practical attack, even if North Korea could get something into outer space and over the U.S.
Hold the thought, Andrew. We'll be back in a moment.
Should a natural or man-made disaster hit, do you have the will, the skill, and the gear? Gear up with Preparedness Gear, a full-service store located at I-25 and Highway 52, exit 235, just south of McDonald's. We have your survival needs. Long-term storage, food, water filtration, bulk grains, bug-out bags, survival equipment, and a comprehensive selection of educational books. Visit us online at preparednessgear.com for upcoming classes or call us toll-free at 888-981-9810. That's 888-981-9810. Get your gear on!
Square Root Construction is pleased to help support the American Freedom Network by offering a high-quality custom deck construction services. Established in 1990, Square Root Construction has been building high-quality decks and other types of outdoor living projects all along the Northern Front Range. We are licensed, insured, and have all the experience, knowledge, and skills to help you create the outdoor living oasis of your dreams. For your free consultation and no-obligation quote, give Doug a call at 303-517-8742 or visit us on the web at squareroconstruction.com.
Rocky Mountain Shooters Supply in Fort Collins is proud of our military. We thank you and your families for the sacrifice you've made. We pray for your safety in war and your safe return. May God bless America. This message from Rocky Mountain Shooters Supply, 3507 East Mulberry Street in Fort Collins, the full-line gun store and indoor shooting range, the largest gun safe dealer in Colorado. For information, call 472-5600. That's 472-5600 or visit rmss.com.
The name is Patriot Trading Group, and the website is allamericangold.com. I'm Joe Jaquin, Vice President of the Patriot Trading Group, and we handle American gold for the American people because that's who we are and that's who we care about. So if you want your portfolio to help you get the job done, or if you want your IRA to be safe from Wall Street and the paper markets and your kids' future to be protected, then call us, the Patriot Trading Group, at 800-951-0592. You'll be glad you did.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here, our guest, Andrew Skousen. Andrew, just go ahead and finish right up with your dad's report.
Thank you, Dr. Stan. Well, we're just looking at some of the concern about the about an EMP strike by North Korea. WorldNet Daily says, quote, "This concern recently has been reinforced by a little publicized study by the U.S. Army War College that said a nuclear detonation at altitude above a U.S. city could wipe out the electrical grid for hundreds, possibly thousands of miles around. The impact would be catastrophic. Preparing for months without a commercial source of clean water, city water pressure is often dependent on electrical pumping to storage towers, and stoppage of sewage treatment facilities will require net methods of survival, particularly in populated areas," military study said, end quote. But there is some exaggeration in WorldNet Daily's reading. The latest military sources indicate it would take at least six EMP weapons spread out over the entire U.S. to give blanket coverage. And the damage area under each explosion that is powerful enough to disable vehicles is only about 100 to 150 miles wide. It is true, however, that the entire electric grid would go down, which would result in looting and social unrest within a week. Continuing World the Daily quote, the May 2011 study titled In the Dark, Military Planning for a Catastrophic Critical Infrastructure Event, concluded that there is very little in the way of backup capability to the electrical grid upon which the communications infrastructure is vitally dependent. End quote. But the biggest thing that these armchair purveyors of hype don't seem to understand, says Joel, is that the U.S. military is hardened against EMP, and thus our ability to retaliate for such an event would not be deterred. That is why standard military doctrine in Russia and China call for a physical nuclear strike on all military and communications targets within 20 minutes of the EMP strike, to make sure our retaliatory capacity is also taken out. In summary, I'm not discounting that North Korea could do something crazy, but the chances of it attacking the West with nuclear weapons are nil and would be suicidal. The chances of North Korea doing some sort of conventional strike on South Korea are much better, but this would result in a strong U.S. response, for once. In past decades, the U.S. has never done anything to punish North Korea after any attack on the U.S. or on the South. Even when it beheaded a U.S. major on the demilitarized zone during a conflict over cutting down a tree that was blocking an observation post. Our failure to punish North Korea for the capture of the USS Pueblo and detaining its crew highlighted our shamefully submissive policies in confronting radical communist regimes. Someday there is going to be a hot war between Korea and the world, but I don't believe this is the time. Let's look at some of the other areas of news. The UN Arms Treaty was passed this week, but it has not yet been ratified by the U.S. Congress, fortunately. The Washington Post couldn't help gloating, quote, the UN General Assembly voted overwhelmingly Tuesday to create the first international treaty regulating the global arms trade, a landmark decision that imposes new constraints on the sale of conventional arms to governments and armed groups that commit war crimes, genocide, and other mass atrocities. The UN vote was hailed by arms control advocates and scores of governments, including the United States, as a major step in the global effort to enforce basic controls on the $70 billion international arms trade. But it was denounced by Iran, North Korea, and Syria for imposing restrictions that prevent smaller states from buying and selling weapons to ensure their self-defense, end quote. Naturally, Joel says, nothing was said about the treaty's fine print that would allow for the U.N. to demand signatories to restrict the availability of private arms. The treaty even deceptively claims that there is no such intent, and the Post tries to debunk concerns, saying, quote, the National Rifle Association contended during negotiations that the treaty would weaken Second Amendment gun rights in the United States. The powerful gun lobby has pledged to fight the treaty's ratification in the Senate. U.S. officials and several non-governmental organizations, including the American Bar Association, have argued that the treaty would have no impact on American gun rights. Its specific language recognizes the, quote, legitimate trade and lawful ownership and use of certain conventional arms for recreational, cultural, historical, and sporting activities, end quote. Joel says, therein lies the trap. Practical self-defense weapons and assault rifles can simply be ruled inappropriate for sporting activities and become banned. Don't let the language fool you or your senator. The Second Amendment was not written to protect just sporting guns. Meanwhile, individual state governments have become the biggest enemy of gun rights, as gun control bills at the federal level have lost steam, thanks to senators and representatives fearing voter retaliation over this hotly contested topic. However, in left liberal-dominated states, no such fear of getting unelected exists. Connecticut was the latest, or one of the most recent, to pass an anti-gun bill, and it was a whopper. According to the Associated Press, quote, Connecticut lawmakers announced the deal Monday on what they called some of the toughest gun laws in the country that were proposed after the December mass shooting at a school in Newtown. Some highlights from the proposal. It will ban sales of high-capacity ammunition magazines, create a background check for private gun sales, create a new registry for existing magazines that carry 10 or more bullets by requiring everyone who wants to own them, they are grandfathered in, to register them with the state. There will also be a statewide dangerous weapon offender registry, which lawmakers say is the nation's first. Immediate universal background checks for all firearm sales, expansion of Connecticut's assault weapons ban, safety training and other requirements to buy any rifle, shotgun, or even ammunition, increases minimum age eligibility for purchase of some semi-automatic rifles to 21, expands requirements for safe storage of firearms, increases penalties for firearms trafficking and illegal possession offenses. Then within schools, Joel says, this is anything but, they say, anything but authorize or require armed teachers. Joel says this list is useless. It creates statewide council to develop safety standards for school buildings, requires each school to write safety plans, requires state to maintain registry of school security consultants working in Connecticut, requires all colleges and universities to submit safety plans to the state. Then in the mental health area, Joel comments, by the way, don't ever voluntarily submit to being committed or admit to mental health problems if you ever expect to own a weapon again in Connecticut. This law requires, bans people who voluntarily commit themselves to a hospital from getting gun permits or eligibility certificates within 6 months of their release. Bans people involuntarily committed to a hospital within the past 60 months.
We're out of time, Andrew. God bless. Thanks very much, and look forward to talking to you real soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Tom Phillips, founder of The Green Herb.
Is it me, or have you noticed that personal service is becoming a thing of the past? Is a big store with untrained personnel, or going to a vitamin store and finding several brands of the same herbal product, all at different prices? You don't need to be an herbal expert at The Green Herb. We'll gladly help you decide which of The Green Herb's exclusive products will work for you and work better than anything you buy elsewhere. And we'll give you an old-fashioned money-back guarantee. Come by The Green Herb, located in Wheat Ridge, Colorado, on the I-70 Frontage Road North, 1 mile west of Kipling, or call 888-765-HERB, that's 888-765-4372, or go to our website at www.thegreenherb.com. It's The Green Herb's policy to give you small-town service in the big city, and be sure to listen to The Green Herb Show with Linda and Dr. Cass every Tuesday at 1 o'clock on KHNC.
we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, ensure domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, promote the general welfare, and secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, to ordain and establish this Constitution.
Hope Pool and Physical Therapy in Greeley would like to take this time to remind everyone, a blood donation truly is a gift of life that a healthy individual can give to others in their community who are sick or injured. In a one-hour time, a person can donate one unit of blood that can be separated into four individual components to help save multiple lives. This message is from Hope Pool and Physical Therapy in Greeley. Give the gift of life. Give blood.
Well, Dr. Stan here at the American Freedom Network. You know, reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. And there's no better example of that than what we're seeing today. I've been in contact with people in Washington, D.C., who know what's really going on. You're never going to read about it in your newspapers. But basically, of course, North Korea is simply a surrogate of China and Russia. And they're behind this whole thing, this whole confrontation. But understand that if there is an attack on America, they'll be able to say, oh, shucks, we had nothing to do with that. That was North Korea acting on their own. But do you honestly think that North Korea got all those weapons simply by themselves? They have sophisticated MiG fighters. Do you think they grow those in the rice paddies in North Korea? They can't even grow enough rice to feed themselves? And of course they don't. They come from China, as all their sophisticated weapons do. Well, nobody ever mentions that North Korea has currently a army of about 1,200,000 men. That's probably the second or third largest army in the world. They have reserves of 8 million men. Every citizen until age 55 is a member of the reserves, and they're all regularly going for training, a reserve army of 8 million men. Furthermore, they have the capacity to launch an EMP attack on America. And if you go to WorldNet Daily and read their recent article written by Michael Maloof, who will be our guest on our programs this coming week, why Michael Maloof, who 30 years with the Defense Department, I've personally talked to him within the last week, he tells me the people in the Defense Department are quietly very concerned about the real danger of an EMP attack on America right at the present time. And what are we doing? Why we're going to increase the number of anti-missile defense units we have on the West Coast, and they'll be intact by, be in place by year 2017. Ladies and gentlemen, we are in very real danger. I don't know what's going to happen now. It would be totally illogical for North Korea to launch an EMP attack on America. But everybody forgets the supernatural component of what's going on. Everybody discounts God. And God does bring punishment on nations that turn against him, and America has turned against God. So make your preparations accordingly. I do not know what's going to happen. We're going to have some fascinating interviews with Ambassador Henry Cooper, who will be with us next week on this program, I think on Tuesday. He'll be here Wednesday morning. We'll have certainly Michael Maloof with us again, a 30-year senior analyst of the Defense Department. But these people are very, very concerned about the danger of an EMP attack, and you should be as well. And the fact this is being played down by the controlled media makes me very, very concerned. If you want to know about the danger, we have an excellent DVD by Ambassador Cooper on the threat of an EMP attack. We have a 4-CD set on the threat of an EMP attack. We have Michael Maloof's book, A Nation Forsaken. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927. You need to get them. You need to duplicate them. You need to get them out. Certainly anything I have made, you have our permission to copy. We want you to get people to understand and begin making preparations. Hope and pray that nothing happens, but But then, of course, if God is just, he is going to bring his judgment on America. So again, our number, 1-800-544-8927. If you're in a position to help us maintain our network of over 50 outlets every week, we'd invite you to join the Radio Liberty family. And then please pray for America. Pray for revival. Because without revival, we will not survive. Pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision, protection, funding. May the Lord be with you.
No state shall enter into any treaty, alliance, or confederation, grant letters of marque or reprisal, coin money, emit bills of credit, make anything but gold and silver coin a tender in payment of debts, pass any bill of attainder, ex post facto law, or law impairing the obligation of contracts, or grant any title of nobility. Article 1, Section 10.
Restore Health and Counseling encourages parents to add to your children's education with proper information about drug use, drug abuse, and addiction. Informed and understanding parental involvement does make a difference. Remember, if you're not talking to your kids about drugs and alcohol, who is? That's from Restore Health and Counseling at 4705.